Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict Sin. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about Fear the Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 1, entitled Monster. This is our full recap. You guys probably already listened to our instant cast that we did right after the show Sunday night. And now we're going to talk about all the things we liked and did not like about the episode.
Yes.
It was written by Dave Erickson, who has worked on Sons of Anarchy, Fear the Walking Dead, Marco Polo, which just released a trailer. They're coming out.
Yep.
I think in July. I'm super excited. I think it was July or November. I don't know. It's like my favorite Netflix series, if you guys have not watched Marco Polo.
Yeah, it's one of them.
It's like the best. It's so good. It's better than Daredevil. It's better than House of Cards. It's the best. You have to watch again. Remember, when we finished watching Marco Polo, we're like, let's start over.
Yeah, we were going to watch it twice. We're going to watch it again.
All right, and he's also worked on Low Winter Sun, and it was directed by Adam Davidson, who has worked on Fear the Walking Dead, Community, Hell on Wheels, or Hell of Wheels. I don't know. I can't understand my chicken scratch. And he's also worked on Low Winter Sun as well.
Wow, two good resumes.
Yep, and the director, Adam, he had a big resume. I could have wrote on and on and on about all the stuff he's worked on, but I just narrowed it down to a few.
Okay.
All right, so we did our instant cast, but Gary, we've watched it a second time now. What did you think overall?
It was a decent episode. It wasn't as strong as I would like a show. And, you know, this is the second season, and the first season was okay. It wasn't nothing like special about it, but it wasn't a bad show. It was decent. So I was hoping that this first episode of the second season would come out, or they would come back strong.
Okay, that they've learned from their, you know, the first season was one of, they're testing it out and they're learning right from their mistakes and everything like that. Okay, I thought it was good. I really enjoyed it. I need to go back and listen to what we felt when we watched season one. I remember we liked season one. There were some things we did not like about it, but I believe we overall liked it.
Yeah, overall, it's a decent show.
Yeah, and I don't... People keep comparing it to The Walking Dead, and I understand that. It's a spinoff. It has the name The Walking Dead in its title. However, let's take other shows that have spinoffs. You can't compare the two. We have, like, 10 million Law and Orders. They're all different. I mean, they do cases, but I mean, they're all different.
But that's the point of those Law and Orders.
What, to be different?
To be different.
That's what this is, too.
I mean, some of them are Special Victims Unit. Some of, what was it? Criminal cases or
Criminal Intent. SVU.
So, you know, we don't expect them to have the same exact cases. So, yeah, they're supposed to be different. But we do want to see how this thing started. Which I thought that's what we were going to see. I thought we were going to see the beginning. But like I said, I'm not upset about, I mean, I watch it. It's pretty good. But it's not the direction I thought we were going to get from the beginning.
Right. I think instead of them saying it or addressing it as the pre-zombie apocalypse or, you know, the beginning, they should have just said a spinoff, another group of survivors.
Yeah, they should have just said another location.
Another location. We have The Flash. We have Arrow. They're all in that same world, but they're having two different experiences. Love both shows. Might even like The Flash a little more. And I think if we look at it that way, rather than comparing them together, like, you don't really compare Flash and Arrow together. Not really. You look at them, they're their own little thing. Then people will enjoy it better.
Right. I understand what you're saying. I understand. But they already did. They did that.
What people did or the...
No. I mean, the showrunners. They already addressed it as the pre-apocalypse.
Okay.
Pre-zombie apocalypse.
Or the beginning.
The beginning. You're going to see how it started. Which I don't think we saw that.
No, because we went 9 days into the future or, you know, 9 days into it. And those beginning days, like, we needed to see every single day those first 30 days. And actually, that would have been really good, like a really good season, like showing us each day something happening. But if you remember, all the complaints from season one at first was, oh, it's boring. It's the beginning of the apocalypse. Shit ain't popping off yet. You know, like what? So you can't argue one thing and then argue against the other. So it's either, yeah, they could have took their time with it, but people would have been complaining about how it was boring. Nothing's happening. But Anywho, I can go on and on about it. I like the show. I know there's a lot of people saying they're going to stop watching. I say, yeah, right. But we'll see. We'll see what the ratings say. And if this is your guys' first time listening to the podcast, the way it works is we discuss our likes, our dislikes, any listener letters we have, and then we do an award and a prediction at the end. All right, Strand, I'm pretty sure, a.k.a. Mr. Clean. Yolanda gave him that nickname last year.
Yeah.
He's still clean. He's still pretty cool. I mean, he's letting his little facial hair grow out and everything, but I love him. He's like my favorite character, him and Nick.
Yeah, he's on the top of the list.
He's funny. I mean, he's not funny by trying to be funny, but he just says like some real shit, so it gets funny. Yeah, he's real. So he's like beat around the bush. But he told them, because they're trying to get to save the other people, or they're debating. Everyone else on this boat is like, hey, we need to go save those people that are out there screaming for help. And I think we discussed that in the instant cast. What will we do? It's so early on. Well, I was going to say, you don't pass a car accident and not help. In the reality, yeah, you do every day.
Yeah, people do it all the time.
You may call 911, or you probably just look and go, I hope everyone's okay. I got to keep moving. So, I don't know. But when he said, I failed my mercy quota, and the only way I'm stopping is to drop people off, I was like, you tell them, Strand.
Yeah,
I thought that was funny. I loved it. Yet at the same time, my feelings on that is, technically, once it becomes a zombie apocalypse, I don't really agree with this, like, the whole, this is my boat, this is my house. Like, even if we go back to season 2 of The Walking Dead, when they first met Herschel and they were at the farm, and, like, remember Herschel wasn't letting them in their house, he made them sleep outside, and then eventually he let them in. I never agreed with that. I was like, what the F? This is a zombie apocalypse. Like, your house is not your house anymore. This is, like, government property. It's communal property now.
I actually agree with Herschel, and I also agree with Strand right now. People are at different levels of the zombie apocalypse. Obviously, Strand knows more than they know, because he was already planning a little trip or planning on getting away. So he's on a different level than they're on. Just like Herschel, we don't know what Herschel's seen before they... Well, actually, we saw he had a barnyard full of zombies.
Right.
So people are at different levels. We just saw Rick and the rest of the group get on that level just this season. Some people are more advanced than others are at this time in the zombie apocalypse. And Strand is just more advanced than they are. He knows something that he haven't told them. And that we're still trying to figure out. What do Strand know? How much do he know? And do Strand know where he's going?
Okay, so I had some time to think about this. With everyone's theory, even our own, saying Strand knows more, could Strand just be like Tobias? That he's that paranoid person, he heard some stories, he's not taking chances anymore. Like, maybe he doesn't know more. He's just like, okay, shit's going weird on the news. I'm hearing stories. I'm connecting the dots. I mean, he might not have known a zombie apocalypse, but he knows something. And he's like, we're going to get out of town. Like, so is it possible that he doesn't know more? He's just kind of like one of those people that.
Well, that would still put him on a different level.
Okay.
That just means his comfort level is at 0.
Right.
He's not taking no chances. Okay. He's not comfortable at all around you.
Okay. That makes sense.
Would it take some people a while to get to that level?
Right.
You just can't give everybody Southern hospitality right now.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is definitely true. And then he also says, the whole world is, I don't know right now. You should be used to that. And he was talking to Nick. What do you think he meant by that?
They went over that in the first season. And that's something that Nick told him, that he just don't know at points.
JSS it.
You know, when he's getting high and everything, he don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. He don't know what the next second to bring. So he's staying, I guess, in a constant mindset of
the I don't know. What are you doing tomorrow? I don't know. What are you doing in a couple hours? I don't know.
Or just confusion.
Okay. I liked it, though. And we also hear the Coast Guard saying on the radio before Alicia starts talking to the guy, Jack. We do hear the Coast Guard say that there is no help, land or sea. So I didn't notice that until the second time watching it. And I appreciate that small detail because we know that the military has collapsed completely. Or on a big, large scale, at least.
Well, at least where they're at.
Yeah, but if the Coast Guard's making this announcement, wouldn't it be fair to say that he's tried to communicate with people across the world?
Yeah, you're right.
And then I also like Travis so far. He seems much stronger than what we saw him being last year.
Exactly. He's just not going with the flow right now. Last season, he was just going with the flow, like, you want me to do this? Okay. Now it's like he's thinking it out. He's more so, I can't say on strands level, but he's closer than the rest of them.
Right. Because as soon as when he talked to Strand about saving those people, and as soon as Strand made sense of like, no, we're not saving those people, we can't take chances, he was just like, yeah, he's right. We can't get a medicine. Whereas last season, I think he would have put up more of an argument like, no, that's wrong. We can't leave these people behind. And, you know.
Well, I can never see him putting up an argument, but I can see him trying to get it out.
Yeah.
Saying a couple of things and just acting or looking confused by it. But we saw this episode when Strand said what he said. He was like, yeah, you're right. Okay. Moving on.
Right. All right, so Alicia making that connection or making a connection with another human being, although I think we can all agree it was dumb, at the same time, to me, it's human nature, and it would have been more weird if she didn't talk to him.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I disagree with you. I think she knows it's wrong that she made connection with him. Remember, she didn't want to. With everything going on over the little radio, she chose to ignore everything and everybody. And at the point where, what's his name, Jack?
Mm-hmm.
When he said something, she was going to ignore him too. She knew, she have to have known that was an idiotic move. That's why she didn't say anything at first. Because I would think that you would be more comfortable saying stuff to people you can't see anyway. And by her not doing that and her just was ready just to pass him by and like, nah, I can't talk to you. I think she knew better.
Well, I think her hesitation came from not because she knew better, but because the task at hand was to look out for help. And he obviously wasn't someone that was saying, hey, does anyone need help? He's actually saying, hey, is anyone out there where he needs the help? He's not offering help. So I thought that's where her hesitation came from. To me, just in the world that we live in with social media and everything like that, sometimes we lose that connection with other people. And I felt when she finally answered him, it was just that human connection, that need to talk to someone. And I actually liked it more the second time around. Like, I disagree with it. I even disagree. I thought some parts of it was dumb the more further they got into the conversation. But I understand that initial point of contact.
I think she had plenty of people to talk to. She have a boat full of people.
Yeah, but it's the same as why do people go and see a counselor? It's better sometimes to talk to your therapist or a stranger and tell them what you're thinking than your own family and friends. Sometimes you don't feel like you can talk to them. And she's a teenager, so you have to still kind of remember her mindset right now. We can agree to disagree. I mean, yeah, I did say it was dumb. I'm just saying it was a like that she, I don't know, she needed to go through this, especially if it ends up being a betrayal. She needed to go through this in order for her to come out on top. Because if every person they saw and every person they connected with was always good, she would never end up learning a lesson.
But how many lessons do you have to teach somebody?
Well, this is kind of her first one.
Not necessarily. Didn't she almost die last season?
With the boyfriend? Or where did she almost die?
Not only...
Oh, the neighbor.
Stupid. I mean, I forgot all about the boyfriend, but not only was that stupid, she went against her mother's wills and went, or mother's wishes and went to go see him. She almost died with the neighbor.
Yeah, but that neighbor thing to me wasn't really her fault, I don't think. I'm trying to remember that scene.
I mean, you know what? It's not her fault, but that should have been a learning lesson.
But that was a dead person that she was learning a lesson from, not a live person.
And then her boyfriend should have been the next lesson.
But her boyfriend technically never hurt her.
He didn't, but she see what's going on with the world.
Okay. I think those are two different lessons to be learned. Like, if someone's infected, and they're not trying to intentionally harm you, that's one thing. Versus you see someone and they say, hey, can you help me? To automatically think that person's going to intentionally harm me. And that's the lesson I feel she's about to learn now. If that guy is a bad guy. Might turn out to, we see him next week and he's going to be like, hey, Alicia, I found you. And they're all good, you know? We'll see. All right, so the big mystery, Madison, she's going looking for Strand and she hears some mumblings. It sounds like someone's talking. So was Strand talking to himself? Was he talking to someone on the radio? What do you think was going on there?
I think he was talking to himself. I mean, that's what it looked like.
Okay. I think it was just a small detail that, hey, later on, since she did mention it, she said it sounds like someone's playing music out there. And he said, sounds echo or whatever.
Underwater.
So we'll see if it's anything to it or if it's nothing.
I think Strand is crazy. That's it.
Everyone has their suspicions of Strand.
I mean, I don't think he's a bad guy, but I mean, he might just have a little bit of issues.
His bags before the bombs fell. And Madison's like, so we'll watch him. And Daniel's like, I've already been doing that. And I like that. Daniel's that cool, quiet guy. We saw that last season, but he's very quiet, but he notices everything.
Yeah, but I hope him watching Strand don't take his mind or his eyes off the real mission. And that's getting help.
I was just thinking somewhat of that same thing, because I was like, he was so busy focusing on Strand, he didn't notice, or no one really noticed Alicia off talking for hours or however long she was talking to Jack for.
Right.
And then what was Ophelia doing this whole episode? I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying my suspicions don't go too far to Ophelia and Strand are working together, but what was she doing as well? I mean, he needs to pay attention to everything, not just, if you're focused on that one person, you're going to miss a lot of other things.
Yeah, I agree.
Strand's rules of the boat. It was big like, right?
Yeah, I loved his rules.
What was rule number one?
It's Strand's boat.
Rule number two?
I think it was Strand's boat.
But what about rule number three?
Well, just in case you forgot rule number one and two, it is Strand's MFing boat.
I like that. Which brings me to my little crazy theory that I said that maybe it's not his boat, because he talked about how much is his boat, and then Nick had that yacht log or whatever, which was just weird. But because why did that little boat have a yacht log on it?
That was weird.
You know? That's like a bus having the train schedule. Like, why? Like, why would you? Why? It doesn't even make sense. But
you know what? That whole scene, it makes sense. Not only the yacht book being on that boat, but also Nick's trying so hard to get the yacht book. Yeah. Like, why?
He almost died.
What would make you think just to grab the yacht book?
Okay.
I wouldn't have thought to grab it.
Well, we got one more like, and then we're going to go to there, because that is definitely on our dislikes list. Our last like is just the fearlessness. That pep talk that Strand gave Nick, and Nick was like, kind of like, why am I here? And it's pretty much what we just discussed at the beginning of this podcast. But he is fearless. And he's not fearing shit. And that you kind of need that in the zombie apocalypse. I mean, you don't want someone to have no feelings and not have a care in the world, because they become a liability. And Nick is almost at that level with him jumping in the water without even thinking. But at the same time, we see he acts fast, because he killed that zombie in the beginning. What'd he do? The motor?
Yeah.
The motor kill? That it was pretty cool.
Right.
So he thinks fast. He doesn't have to have certain tools to kill. He'll figure out a way with whatever he's working with. And he's not really scared.
No, not at all.
Or at least he wasn't prior to his soberness. Who knows what's going to happen when he's fully functioning everyday living without the drugs and stuff. So we'll see. Now, as much as we said we liked the episode, I will admit, when we were watching the second time and doing our notes, our dislikes list did get somewhat longer than usual. It got longer than, I would say, most Walking Dead episodes. But let's just tackle some of these and see what we think. And maybe talking about it, we may realize it's not much of a dislike, but it maybe is. how they jumped ahead in the beginning. I mentioned that on the instant cast. How did those small fires start on the property? I mean, there were small little fires, like, literally right there on the property.
When the episode ended, the last season, we saw it going down, stuff happening. But I don't like how they still jumped ahead of that. And then go back to how and why. Or it was a big dislike.
And then not only that, when Daniel and Madison were talking, Daniel's like, how did he know to leave? You know, he has this big, nice home, big walls. How did he think something was going to come over here and get us? Which made me think, hold on, if there was walls surrounding that big, nice property, which I wouldn't be surprised if there were, how did all those walkers all of a sudden, like a drove of walkers come on his property and on the beach area? It was so many walkers. It wasn't like a few.
Because a lot of walkers came out the water.
No, the walkers that were coming, the water, no, they were coming from down from his house at the beginning I'm talking about.
No, I'm talking about they were coming from everywhere. There were some coming from the water, some coming from his house. They were just coming from everywhere.
Yeah, but it showed like, the screen showed like a upside picture of his house, like an up view. Yeah. And there were a whole bunch of walkers like right there at the house.
Right.
And it was just too much to me. It was just not believable. Like, how did all those walkers get there? Especially if you had a wall surrounding your property, you know? I mean, who knows? Well, I will see. Chris acting like a little bitch. I'm not feeling it. I didn't really have a problem with him last year, I don't think. I can't remember what we said about Chris. I know some people were harder on him than I think we were. I kind of tossed it off to being a teenager. But the shit he did this week was just getting, like, it was one dumb thing after another.
This wasn't a big dislike of mine. I kind of understand what he was going through. His mother just died by the hands of his father. Well, he thinks his father killed his mother.
Okay, that's what I was confused too. I meant to watch the last episode again. I could have sworn Madison killed the mom.
Yeah, but remember, Travis took the blame for it because he knew that Chris wouldn't understand.
Oh, so Madison did kill the mom?
Yeah.
Okay, I kept saying, oh, I need to go back and watch the last year's season finale. But since Madison, and every time it showed Madison and Travis talking amongst each other, they never, you know how in shows they were like, did you tell him I did it? You know, like they never had that secret conversation like they were hiding something. Yeah. So I was like, oh no, you're imagining, Nicole. Like, I guess Travis is the one that did it.
Right.
So Madison killed the mom.
Yes.
Okay, so of course that's going to come out later.
Maybe. I mean, this show jump over a lot of things.
Yeah, okay.
They may never bring it up.
He may never bring it up again. Okay. But him acting, I mean, I know his mom died, but him acting like a little brat, like walkers were about to kill his dad, and he's still laying at the mom's body. They're literally fighting walkers, and he's laying at the mom's body. Sad or no sad, you got to jump out of it, dude.
As he just said it, done. It's easier said because we're just watching it.
Yeah, but
I think they did a good job with that. They put real emotion into it. You have to understand that him and his father didn't have that relationship, that father-son relationship. He really didn't want to go stay the weekend with his father. So his mother was his everything. And when somebody that's your everything, when something happens to him, then, I mean, yeah, you're going to be emotionally distressed.
Okay.
And depressed.
I was going to say, didn't he have a few hours to mourn? Because when Liza died, it was daytime. And at this point, it was night.
You cold-blooded.
No, I was just hours. No, I'm just saying. It's not like he just found out she died. I mean, he had to have had a few hours with her. But, I mean, that does sound cold when it comes out that way. But I was not meaning it that way. But, you know, in the zombie apocalypse, you got to mourn for like 5 minutes. Sometimes you don't even get a chance to mourn. Look at what happened with Rick and Jesse. It was like, oh, she's dead. We got to keep moving.
But that's why I said people are at different levels of the zombie apocalypse.
That's true. Because when we saw people die at the beginning, season one, season two.
Yeah, season one when, I can't think of her name, but her sister
died. Andrea's sister.
Yeah, Andrea sat with her sister like...
All night long.
Yeah, 24 hours?
Yeah.
Yo, it took zombies a long time to change.
Yeah, but you know what? They tried to clear that up because they're like in the season finale of Walking Dead. They're like at the CDC. They're like the guy, I forgot his name, the one that worked at the CDC.
Yeah.
He's like, they can change within minutes or within hours. I was like, how convenient for you guys to say that. Because, man, they be changing whenever they feel like changing.
I think a walker is based on what they done, what they was doing in their previous life. Like, we see walkers jumping fences and stuff. Like, maybe it was a track star or maybe a burglar. They could scan walls or whatever.
Oh, goodness. All right, we're still on Chris, the dislikes for him. We talked about it on the Instant Cast, but him going for a quote-unquote swim, bullshit, or you're going to excuse that too?
No, I can't excuse that. That was bullshit. Especially when you see smoke and fog everywhere in front of you. That was just the weirdest shit I've seen in my life. Like, when they first showed the scene, I was wondering, like, what's that smoke? And I was thinking that he was wondering the same thing. When he jumped in the water, I was like, oh, man. This guy's tripping.
Him punching Travis?
Yeah, I can excuse that.
You excuse that, too?
Yeah.
And do you think his punch was really hard enough to, like, make Travis's lip bleed? Like, one punch to the lip?
It didn't look like it, but maybe, you know, Travis got soft lips.
Okay. I'm like, damn, we could understand that you got hurt. You don't have to show us blood just to show that you got punched in the lip.
You know, Travis is a lover, not a fighter.
All right. I thought that was crazy that he punched his dad. I don't know. I thought it was crazy. And I thought it was crazy that Travis let him. Like, I don't know.
I mean, that's one thing I did like about the show. It brought real emotions, real feelings.
Yeah, we have to remember our mind is on that season 6 level versus if something like that were to happen today, you know, we wouldn't just be instantly in that I don't give a F type of, you know, we'd be having those feelings right now.
Yeah, I mean, I still have those feelings.
I have them too. I'm just saying.
You ready for them to kiss mom on the forehead and say, hey, I'm out.
No, okay, I gotta go. It brings me to the next dislike. What was up with him pushing Liza's corpse over the side? Like, what? Where did that come from? You were just saying you didn't want to leave her, and then you push her body over?
Well, it was going to bear her at sea anyway. I don't think that was more of disrespect towards her. I think he was upset that his father was trying to give a eulogy.
He could have said words, too. He had an opportunity to say some words. It's not like only one person can talk.
Yeah, you're right. But I thought it was inappropriate also.
What did you think was inappropriate?
I thought it was inappropriate. Travis giving a eulogy. Maybe Travis should let him speak. Travis, the things he was saying, I mean, we saw their relationship was a little rocky. I mean, you can't.
What did he say? That was so, he said she loved, she, the greatest thing we did together was making Chris who she loved more than anything. It's not right. Like he was like, she was my best friend. I'm going to miss her terribly. He didn't do anything that was fake or phony.
Yeah, yeah, but he got close.
What? Name one thing he did that was close.
Speak, period.
Okay. I mean, granted, that's his ex-wife. It's the mother of his child. To me, he should be able to speak at her eulogy, if that's what you want to call it, at sea.
Yeah, but I think he should let Chris go first. Let Chris do it at his level.
Well, Chris was probably too in his emotions to even say anything. He should have been like, hey, Chris. I mean, he could have been like, hey, Chris, do you have any words you want to say? And I'm guaranteeing if he went that way, Chris would have got all mad, not in front of everybody. I mean, I don't know.
But maybe he should try it that way. Let Chris take the lead. Because obviously Chris thought he was the man of his house.
Well, I was just going to say, he is almost a grown man. He's acting like a little baby right now. Like, don't get me started.
Like I said, I don't agree with everything he did. Because, like I said, jumping in the water, that was crazy. Stupid. But I can excuse a lot of things they did.
Okay. He's mourned. He's gotten out of his way. Let's see how he does next week. Because I can't keep allowing that.
Can't keep allowing him to stay on the show.
It may have gone that far, yeah.
We got to vote him off.
Yep. It's the Survivor show. We vote him off.
Yeah, let's just give him one more episode. I mean, his mom did just die.
Yeah, okay. Last on our dislikes, I guess our dislikes really has to do with Chris. But the walkers stopping from attacking Nick. It happened like 2 times, I believe.
Yeah, the walker was about to attack him, but heard Travis call him. And then just stopped and
just
look around. Stop.
Like the walker, the first one, before we went to commercial break, it's Nick in the water. And then he comes face to face with the walker. When it comes back, the walker's not even attacking him, like, from the commercial break, because it goes to commercial break, like, showing the walker's face, like, oh, so obvious. goes to commercial break, comes back. You just hear Nick saying, Mom, like, hold on. The walker's like 2 feet away from you. Why is it not attacking you?
So you thought he was going to be dead after commercial break.
I thought he would at least be struggling in the water with the walker.
Yeah.
Then when he goes inside the boat and he snatches the yacht book out of the walker's hand or whatever happened, they fought over that yacht book.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Were they fight over it?
I don't know if they were necessarily fight over it, but whatever happened, he just looked, he walked away. He didn't even like fight. The walker was still alive, just watching him swim away. And I was like, what the hell? Why did the walker not attack him?
The walkers, whatever they done in a previous life, that's why he was fighting them like that over that yacht book. He used to be the captain of the boat.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I don't know why he was fighting him. I just thought it was weird that he stopped fighting him. Like, Nick swam away. The walker wasn't trying to come after him. But the walker was not completely dead. So, and I've seen a few people talk about that. And when I first saw it, I was like, what? That was weird. And then when I saw the people, I said, okay, I was not seeing things. It was true.
Yeah, it was weird.
All right, well, that's all for our dislikes, our likes and dislikes. I guess most of the dislikes actually stemmed from Chris.
Well, you had another dislike.
What was it?
Your dislike was Alisa not telling them that Jake or Jack said that I'll be right there.
Yeah, I mean, that was a dislike. And when you said, okay, well, they didn't really have much time, a lot of shit happened after that. When we watched it for the second time, a lot of stuff did pop off, like, boom, boom, boom. It was kind of like right after that. Because she didn't immediately tell him that they said no. They did some other stuff. I think they went and sat down for dinner or something. I don't know what the course was, but when I watched it the second time, I was like, yeah, Gary's right. She really didn't necessarily get a good time. But once again, in these TV shows, they love to do dramatic pauses. So when they saw the boat and they're like, Nick, come back. And then Strand was like, maybe those are the people that you talk to or whatever he said to her. That's when the perfect time would have been like, shit, he's right, Mom. The guy said he was coming. But once again, in television shows, they do those long dramatic pauses where people point for a long time. You ask someone a question, you don't get the answer right away. Whereas in real life, people, you know, we're talking fast or boom, boom, boom. This happened. Okay, oh my gosh, I just remembered this or, you know, so I'll forgive it only because in TV world, they didn't give her adequate time to be able to say that big, important detail.
the most important detail of the night.
The most important detail right now. All right. So now we have some listener letters. We would love to hear from you guys as well. Our email is dead@theverdictsin.com. That is dead@theverdictsin.com. We will be doing an instant cast next Sunday as well for the second episode. And then after that, we will only be doing full recaps. And our full recaps should come out late Tuesday night, just like this one is coming out. We'll try to get out earlier, but just expect to come out late Tuesday because we will be doing Game of Thrones. So if you are a fan of Game of Thrones, check over on our Game of Thrones feed. We just started on season 5 last year. It was our very first podcast, but listen to that. We'll be doing instant casts and we'll be doing full recaps of that show as well. We have a letter today from Tiffany, and she didn't get to write us on our full recap or the season finale recap of The Walking Dead. And she just said, you know, she was sorry she missed it, but she's been busy. She has a life, but she said she loved the episode, but she was not cool with them not showing who was killed. She thought it was pure crap.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I kind of agree, but I believe I said in the full recap, I kind of like that they didn't show us. It was a cliffhanger. That's what cliffhangers are. Everyone, like, I've been on so many freaking forums just typing away. Everyone's guessing who it was. If they showed us who it was, what would we be talking about right now? We'd be like, oh, it's so sad so-and-so died. Like, how many times, you know, how many times can you have that conversation? But you can have a, I think it's this person because 100 times, or at least until Game of Thrones comes on, then people really have stuff, other stuff to talk about. But right now, that conversation has been going on for over a week now, and I've been having fun with it.
Yeah, and people are still upset.
People are still upset, but not as much. It seems like people are lightening up a little bit. They're realizing it's just TV. It's not real life. So they're getting over it. All right, so for her Fear the Walking Dead, the first thing I felt at the end of this episode is relief. Relief that I'm not so emotionally invested in these people. LOL. I think that'll allow for me to watch this with less something. That could totally change by the end of the season, but right now it's like palate cleanser from the regular Walking Dead series.
I agree.
I see where she's coming from. It's some of those shows, you know how you have those shows and you just kind of watch it and you're not really investing in it, so you don't really care one way or the other what happens.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what she means. Like, yeah, I'm going to watch it, but if so-and-so dies, I don't care. I'm not invested in this show. So I definitely can understand that. I have a few shows I just watch and I'm like, and you're like, why are you watching it? I'm like, I don't know. I just watch the show, but I don't have to watch it live or anything like that. Right off the rip, my favorites are Strand and Nick. I agree. Those are my two favorite as well.
Yeah.
I like Strand because he has an outfit for every possible situation. Going yachting, let's put on this dapper outfit. Thrown into government jail, let's wear this amazing tux with awesome cufflinks. For real, though, he seems to be the only one using common sense. The fact that these people even thought they had a say in who does and doesn't get on the boat just seemed ludicrous to me. Especially considering they are lucky to be on the damn boat themselves.
Right.
I was so happy when he gave the rules. Number one, it's my boat. Number two, it's my boat. And number three, it's my goddamn boat. I did a clap. And you're agreeing with her there, Gary, right?
Yes, I am.
I like that Nick doesn't think he has any skills and even asks Strand, why am I on the boat? I'm a junkie. But then you see he just fearlessly jumped into the water after stupid Chris. He's fearlessly swam over to the other boat. Fearless will come in super handy, and I like him and Strand are an unlikely group to be near teaming up. I somewhat agree with you here, Tiffany. At the same time, there's a thin line between fearless and stupid. And I don't know. I mean, I said it was fearless of him to jump in and do all this stuff too, but some of it I thought was stupid. Like him going to the other boat. Like, why? There's walkers in the water, dude. It's not like you're a walker expert. You're like 2 weeks into the zombie apocalypse and you're already like, oh, that's just a walker, no big deal. Like, no. We saw in The Walking Dead, they avoided walkers at all. I mean, they were scared of walkers. You're scared for a long time. It's not something you just adapt and easily get used to. Like, oh, there goes a walker in the water. He can't catch me, though. Like, so I thought it was dumb of him to go to the other boat. All right, she wrote, who I don't like. The mother, Madison. She has a resting bitch face on top of the fact that she seems very holier than thou.
Yeah, I never liked her.
I never liked Madison either.
But I think she's doing a good acting job. I think she's doing a great job to make me not like her. Because there's not too many people that, you know, that don't really do nothing wrong, but I just can't stand them because the face they make.
Right. I don't know. Madison, I just did not like her from the beginning.
Yeah, she had a stank attitude from the beginning.
Something about her character, just something about her, I've just never really cared for. We'll see in the next few episodes how she acts, but I mean, I don't care about her. I just have no feelings whatsoever for her. The father, Daniel Salazar, I can't believe she put him under her dislikes, Liz. But she said he is suspicious too and actually should be a little more grateful because his ass would be bombed right now because he would have still been in that damn barbershop waiting for customers.
Yeah, he lost out a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Daniel would have stayed in the barbershop. He was going to leave one way or the other. But who knows what would have happened with him, his wife, and Ophelia.
Right.
Because did they have a car? Would his wife have got her foot hurt? Who would have helped him with that?
Yeah, they would have never left the barbershop.
Well, they would have never left that area, that street scene.
Yeah, because remember, he locked himself in there.
Yes, but wasn't he the one that... Who suggested they leave the barbershop when...
I think it was Travis.
Okay.
Because Travis had to get home.
Okay.
I can't remember. I think the zombies decided that. And then they could start breaking through one of the walls or something. Or
somebody. I thought it was a human that did that.
Oh, people?
Yeah.
Well, I think they was a decided vote.
Right. Well, that's what I said. Even if Travis wasn't there, he would eventually have left.
Yeah.
Whether he would have made it past that street, I don't know. And then she wrote, Chris, as much as Madison gets on my nerves, I was glad when she set his punk ass straight. He is definitely going to get a punch to the throat. Who's on the fence? Manawa, which is Travis, the other father. He is catching on real quick. I like that. but I feel like he can maintain his toughness, but we will see. Or she said, I feel he can't maintain his toughness, so we'll see. Alicia, I don't know why her stupid ass was talking to anyone anyways, but at the same time, I feel bad for her. She knew where her life was going, and she was just waiting for it to start. But now what? If she keeps making these stupid decisions, she's going to go the other way of her mother. And when I read this, I was like, that's a good point. We have to remember, Alicia was like an all-star student. She had her whole life planned out.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? I didn't need this interruption in my life. I'm supposed to be going off to college right now. I'm supposed to be, she had everything mapped out. And she did everything she was supposed to do. And now it's like, okay, the zombie apocalypse comes and none of that matters. I mean, maybe she knows, I'm not going to say book smarts don't matter in the zombie apocalypse. If she knows how to start a fire, make a bomb,
make bullets,
Eugene, make bullets or something. You know, there's going to be some things that she might know how to do. Yet at the same time, just because she's book smart doesn't mean that she knows how to do those things as well. And it doesn't necessarily mean that she won't know how to fight either. People will eventually adapt to their environment.
Yeah, I can't wait till they start adapting, though.
I can't either, but at the same time, we don't want them to adapt too fast. Because it's going to be... I don't know, man. I don't know how fast someone would adapt to something like that. But you don't want them to adapt too fast where it's like, okay, really? They're just killing people. They're randomly killing people, you know. You don't want them to do too much. You want to see them struggle with that morality issue and their humanity. All right, she wrote, Ophelia, not much for her this week, but we will see. My main questions: what does Strand know? How does he know it? Where is he taking them? Does he have a plan for where he is taking them? Is he really going to need all those people's help? Or is it help in the sense he will trip them up and that will allow him to escape? Was he talking Spanish? Why won't he go to sleep?
Any answers? A lot of good questions.
Yeah, good questions. Any answers for her?
No, I'm wondering the same thing.
I don't know if he would necessarily trip them up to allow for his escape. I mean, I think he would, but I don't think, like, that's his overall plan. Like, I'll take him with me, and when I need to dump him, I'll dump him so I can escape. I'm not going to say he's doing it just for their good, for their well-being. I think he does feel that they're going to be an asset to him, but I don't think he's, like, planning on betraying them or anything like that.
Yeah, we'll see.
And was he talking Spanish? His name is Coleman Domingo, I believe. His real name, the actor. So it's possible he, like, knows Spanish or something. Hmm. Right? I don't know. I mean, Strand seems like he's well-versed, like he's traveled. So he might know, like, a few languages for all we know.
Yeah, he might. But I'm wondering, why won't he go to sleep?
Because Madison threatened to shoot.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Threatened to
throw him off the boat. All right. Ain't fearing shit, Nick, because he's a junkie who likes to swim with zombies. All right, well, thank you so much, Tiffany. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Remember, you guys can hit us up dead@theverdictsin.com or on Twitter @theverdictsin or facebook.com/verdictsin. Now for our award, Gary, why don't you start us off?
I would probably have to go with Nick also with the I ain't fearing shit. You know, he was willing to play tug of war with a walker in order to get the yacht book.
Swimming with the walkers.
Swimming with them. Instead of going back to the boat when he got away from one, he chose to swim to another boat. It could have been like 100 more in there. You know, it could have been a lot of walkers in that boat.
Right.
So it's crazy that instead of going to the safe place, so I don't know whether he was just high on something or whether he really wasn't fearing shit, but I'm going to give him the I Ain't Fearing Shit award.
All right. I'm going to do the same, just for the same reasons that you did. I may have always been a fan of Nick, and I thought he wasn't fearing shit, especially when he came back for Madison and Travis and Chris when they were at the beach, and he had to think fast and kill that walker with the motor thing. So I thought that was pretty cool. I'm going to give him the I Ain't Fearing Shit award as well. Most likely to die?
I don't know. I hope a couple of them die. And we get some new
characters.
But the most likely to die is, I think they could get rid of, what's her name, Ophelia?
Yeah.
they can get rid of her. I mean, they showed her one time this episode.
Right.
So we wouldn't miss her if she just died within the first 3 minutes of next episode.
Yeah. We'd be like, oh, Daniel had a daughter? Oh, yeah, he did have a daughter.
So I'm going to say they already set this up to not miss her.
It's possible. I mean, we saw her. She had a cut or whatever happened to her from last season.
Yeah, she had an infection. And, oh, no, he said that you need to do this so it won't get infected.
So it won't get infected. So I don't know if they were trying to set us up for a love story connection there or if they were setting up for Ophelia dies and wakes up as a zombie and starts attacking everybody on the boat. But so your most likely to die, though, is for Ophelia.
Yeah.
Okay. My most likely to die, and it's probably because I'm in my feelings right now, but I want it to be Chris. But at the same time, it's like, damn, Travis to lose his wife and, I mean, his ex-wife still and his son. But the same thing could be said about if Ophelia dies, Daniel would lose his wife and his daughter. And I think if Daniel lost his wife and his daughter, he would probably be like Negan. There would be nothing stopping this dude from being a good man, if he is, in fact, a good man right now. But most likely die, I guess Chris, but it's not necessarily that I want Chris to die. Well, I want to see his character develop a little more from that bratty teenager to something meaningful. But you think he's
going to do something stupid, like jump in the water?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. At this point, really, I don't think any of them are going to die. But if I had to pick one, it'd be Chris. But it's just so early in the season to make one of them die already.
No, they got to kill somebody.
You think so?
They have to.
Their group is not that big to be killing people. I mean, The Walking Dead is like 50 people they can choose from, whereas this is like 6 people.
Yeah, they got to.
Okay, we'll see.
They have to because we need that excitement to come from somewhere.
Yeah, I mean,
they gotta do something drastic this next episode.
The villain, if Jack is really a villain, if that's his real name, whoever this Jack guy is, I think that's going to be something exciting.
Yeah, and Walking Dead do a pretty good job with their villains.
Yeah, they really get with their villains. And then he may not even be a villain. So who knows? We'll have to see.
No, I think he's a villain.
All right. Well, the only reason why I think he may not be a villain is because for next week's episode, they didn't show us anyone that we didn't recognize. It was everyone from the group right now and then walkers. So I'm like, maybe they didn't show us Jack because they couldn't show him being nice and talking to everybody. And so that's what makes me think he's a good guy. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to explain?
Yeah, it makes sense.
All right, well, that does it. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Good night.
Good night.